I realize now that Judy actually needs lowered a little bit. So tomorrow I'm going to work on that. She's going to be moved yet again. I think she needs to be like right down here because she's too far up there. I want her closer to me and to us, so I'm going to take care of that. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Martin Zender and another Revelation series. Look, thank you, every one of you who have supported this work, either in writing me letters or in sending me checks, sending me money to help keep this operation going. It's a grassroots operation. As you know, I never require money for this show. You can get all the truth you want from me, from my website, for free. I have literally hundreds of audio files, hundreds of videos, hundreds of articles. I mean, it'll take you over a year if you started just assimilating everything, starting to go through all my stuff. This is what I do. But there's no way I could do it unless you helped me, and you have helped me, and you continue to help me, and I'm extremely grateful for that. Some of you send money to the PayPal account. Some of you write physical checks to Stark and Hartman headquarters. And I am thanking all of you at once here because it's just so practical for me to do that. And so consider this my heartfelt thanks to you. And I'll be putting a thank you note in the newsletter this coming weekend for those of you who don't listen to the show. Of course, you will never know I'm saying this because you don't watch the show. How can you not watch the show? Okay, anyway, this is what we do. It's so symbiotic. It's so grassroots. People don't know how I survived. Martin, how are you making it? I said, look, I'm making it because people want me to keep doing what I'm doing. There's no other way. And what the weird thing is that I don't charge for my product. There's no subscription fee to get this show. You don't have to subscribe to get my newsletter. All my writing is free online. The only thing you have to buy are the books because we have to send those out, get those printed. It costs money. But believe me, I give away more books than I sell, and that's a fact. I never make money on books. I do not make money on books because I give most of them away. How can I do that? People are amazed when I hand them books. They go, "How? I want to pay for this, Martin." I say, "No." He said, "How can you do this?" It's because I know generous people who, out of the goodness of their hearts, literally, keep this operation going through their generosity. And for some people, it's $5. For some people, it's more. Some of you gifts a little bit every month on the automatic thing. That way you can set it up and forget about it. And then it just keeps coming, and I can keep giving to you, and I can keep giving away books. So thank you for everything that you do for me, for this show. And I say this about my friend Matt, the guy who edits my newsletter, Matt Rohrbeck. He's one of the editors. Kelly does a spell check on it too. She looks at it. She goes through it. Of course, I read it about 17 times before it goes out, but still stuff that gets through. Anyway, he says, look, the only thing I have going, this is Matt, he says, the only thing I have going at the dais of Christ is that I help you get your work out. And he's helped me get it out since 1993. Matt Rohrbeck used to work with me at the Postal Service. And I'm the one who God used to introduce him to the truth of the salvation of all. I gave him a book. I hadn't written any books at the time. I was still working at the post office. I gave him the book, The Outcome of Infinite Grace. He came in, he was a little ticked off about it when I handed it to him. I don't want to read this stuff's craziness. I'll just give it a try, Matt. We had been arguing about taxes. He says he was absolutely for tax reform. He was very politically involved then. We're paying too many taxes, Martin. When are you going to get upset? And I said, Matt, when are you going to stop being upset? God knows how much money we don't need. We're to be subject to the superior authorities. Oh, he couldn't stand that. So he was very upset, and I gave him this book. I said, look, just read this. So the next morning, he came in, threw the book down on my desk as I was sorting flats. Flats are like magazines, newspapers, big envelopes. Anyway, he says, listen, I'll have you know that your little book kept me up until 2 a.m. last night. I said, yes. He said, It's true. The information in that book has to be true. And that's how it started with Matt Rohrbeck. Oh, then his sister. He goes, look, we have to plot something. My sister, Marion, needs to hear about this. But it's going to be a tough sell. So about a week later, there Matt and I were at his sister Marion's. And he says, look, Zender, I want you to start talking to her about the sovereignty of God. God's in control. She really needs to know this because of things that are going on in her life. I said, let's do it. So we sat down, had coffee. It was very awkward. As all these things are, every meeting I've ever been to in anyone's house, everything always starts a little awkwardly. You meet people, they're not sure about you, but it always warms up because the truth of God is warm, and it just comes through me, right? I'm just a conduit, just boom, comes out of me. And it eventually just washes over everyone, including myself, and things happen. So Matt, speaking coffee, he goes, so Martin, tell Marion a little bit about the sovereignty of God. It was the most awkward introduction. It was like, what? How could he be so direct? I was hoping for a subtle introduction, like, what have you been thinking about lately, Martin? No, tell my sister Marion about the sovereignty of God. So I jumped in as awkwardly as possible, but I thought, you know what? It's the truth that has power, not my presentation. So I started talking to her. And I believe I went to Isaiah 45:7. I create both good and evil, says the Lord. I create both good and evil. I had a guy, you may have heard this story. I had a guy tell me, like, I'll never believe that. God creates evil? No, that can't be true. I will not believe that unless I see it out of the King James Version. So he was holding the King James Version. I said, sir, may I see your King James Version? I took his King James Version, turned it to Isaiah 45:7, showed him the verse in black and white in the King James Version, his Bible, Isaiah 45:7, I, the Lord God, do all these things. I create good and I make good and create evil. I create evil. It's right there in the King James Version. The guy looked at it with his own two beady little Christianized eyes, and he said, I don't believe that. Couldn't believe his own eyes. What are you going to do at that point? Start talking about the weather. So anyway, I told Marion, God creates evil. No, 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 no. There's no way God could do that. I looked at Matt. He looked at me. He looked away, started fiddling with the cream and the sugar. Yeah, very awkward. I soldiered on, as I do. And I don't remember at what point it happened, but maybe I was giving a practical example of God hardening Pharaoh's heart. And I'll never forget these words from Marion. She suddenly paused and stopped. And I knew something had happened, so I quit talking. I'm smart that way. I know when to shut up. And she had this glow on her face. And she said, oh, I get it. Four words. Four most spiritual words I've ever heard or ever will hear. These are the words of realization and revelation. Oh, I get it. Oh, I get it. And that was it. And Marion has become a staunch believer that day in the sovereignty of God. From that point on, folks, if you can get the sovereignty of God, then everything else just falls into place. It's like finding out there's no Santa Claus. And then you say, I wonder what else is not real. What about the Easter Bunny? What about the Tooth Fairy? Okay, Santa Claus is the first domino. Ba-ba-boom, then everything comes down. The sovereignty of God is the first domino. Once you see that God's in control of everything, it's a lot easier to see that God is the Savior of all, that He has a plan to go along with it, namely the eons. And then that's what happened with Marion. So it's been a great thing. This is a one-day sidetrack on the sovereignty of God. The sovereignty of God. Did I start that way? No. It's kind of like a scattershot show right now because so far I've thanked you, my supporters, subscribers, viewers, friends, fellow laborers in the evangel of Christ. Everyone that I've reached, and I've reached hundreds of people with the truth, and God has used me as a vessel to bring hundreds of people, maybe thousands, I don't know. I'm just talking about the people I know about, to the truth in the last 23 years, coming on 24 years. I want you to take partial credit for this because I couldn't do it without you. We're fellow laborers together in the truth, and I mean that. We're working together. I'm on the front lines, you're behind the lines, but you're stocking me. I'm like the soldier in the trench, and you're like passing me my rations. You're giving me my food. And so, God bless you for that. I can't thank you enough. Anyway, the show you're watching now is being made a few days after the show you just saw yesterday, because there's been a gap. You're not aware of it, but Nancy Holland, who I introduced to you yesterday, I'm actually 3-4 days removed from that show. Anyway, she was supposed to leave yesterday. She's still here. The reason is, here's another lesson in the sovereignty of God, is I forget what night it was, but as I speak to you, it was 3 nights ago, maybe 4. We were having a little sit down out here right outside the door here. We have a little fire pit out there, and we were having a really nice time talking about God and popular music. And Nancy's a rock and roller. It's unbelievable. She's 72 years old, and she loves ZZ Top. She says to me, "Play some ZZ Top." So I said, "What?" I would think, you know, she's into Benny Goodman or, you know, the big bands, Frank Sinatra. Oh, no. She wants "Give Me All Your Lovin'" by ZZ Top. "Give me all your lovin', all your hugs and kisses too." So I played it for her, and she's rocking, jamming, having a great time. She leaves the house at 10:30. There's a difficult step here between the living room and the area right before the door. The step is in the house. It's one of those in-house steps, okay? And you can't really see it because the floor is white and there's no, like, safety strip on. So you thought I was going to tell you she fell on that step, aren't you? No. You thought that, right? No. I helped her over that step. I mean, she gets around well. But what I didn't help her over was the step from the house to the sidewalk, because the lighting was great and I thought she saw that step. And in fact, she did see that step. What she didn't notice was the depth of it. She thought it was a shallow step, and it was really a deeper step than she thought. It was only one step. She fell to the concrete with a horrifying splat. And I was just, it happened in front of me. And I'm like, oh my God, why? I had let her through the door ahead of me. That's what I do. Any woman that I'm with, whether it's a teenager or a grandmother, it doesn't matter to me. I let her through the door first. I'm a gentleman. I'm old school that way. No matter what, I just can't stand going through a door before a lady, period. That's my default setting. So I opened the door for her. I stepped back, and we couldn't have gone through the door simultaneously. Anyway, I let her through the door first. And I remember consciously looking down at that step. Yep, there's a step. Yep, it's there. She sees it, and she did see it, but she misjudged its depth, and she fell. And I'm like, oh my God. I'm like, oh, you sweet thing. No, what's happened? I went down on my knees to see if she was okay. She thought she was. It took her 10 minutes to get up. Folks, to make a long story short, she broke her hip. Juliana and I trundled her into my car. I drove her to the hospital, which is only 4 blocks from here. I stayed up with her all night in the emergency room. The woman is incredibly strong. She was making jokes. Emergency rooms are hell, okay? The people in emergency rooms are different breed. They're strange people, I think. Anyway, found out that her hip was broken, and they told us, I mean, they do their jobs, the ER people. So God bless you. It's got to be a tough job. You have to shut certain corridors of your heart. And ER, and I appreciate that. We needed you. You came through for us, even though some of you were, well, thank you for the work you have done on our behalf. Seriously. So, found out that her hip was broken. They said, we scheduled you for a total hip replacement. And that happened the next day. So, the total hip replacement took place the next day. I was with Nancy in the pre-op room. I was there when they gave her anesthesia. That was scary. Listen, you know how I hate death. And seeing that, I mean, it's almost instantaneous. The nurse put the sodium pentothal or whatever it is into her IV, and I saw Nancy fade right in front of my eyes. And I walked away from there crying. I couldn't handle it. Like, you know how it is. I mean, listen, you go into surgery, they give you that general anesthesia. You don't know sometimes. You don't know if you're coming out. It's dangerous business. I mean, it's not like, obviously, there's a high percentage that you're coming out of it. But they tell you, we don't know if you're going to come out of this. You have to sign a waiver at the beginning saying, I realize that I might not come out of this anesthesia. So I watched my friend fade into unconsciousness. I was the last person she saw, and just reminded me of the fading of death. You know, I saw my dad die, and it's horrifying. And I realized then that for the next 3 hours of the operation, she was not going to be aware of any passage of time. She would have no experience of pain, no foreboding, no anxiety, no nothing. It's like the dead do not know anything. And this sodium pentothal is like death. Every night you sleep is like death, but it's not as dramatic as this when somebody injects something into your IV tubing and you go off into la-la land. And it was terrifying to me. And I went away, I had to put my sunglasses on. I was weeping behind my sunglasses walking out of that room. 3 hours later, I came back, and I was one of the first people she saw coming out of surgery. And of course, she had no recollection. It's the kind of thing where, when are they going to operate? Well, it's done. It's over. So now she's in a rehab facility. This woman, Nancy Holland, has a creative way of extending her South Florida vacation, right? So she's going to be here for another week. Juliana helped me cancel her flight, and she's going to be going through some intensive rehab. This woman's tough. She's like a Marine mindset. She's going to be fantastic. She's probably going to be running the high hurdles within 3 days, and so she's going to get back to her mother. Yes, to her mother. Whenever she talks about her mother, people look at her like, what? You have a mother? Yeah. Her mother's 94 years old, and Nancy helps take care of her mother. Nancy's great. This is a lesson in the sovereignty of God. Nancy and I look at each other. I spend many, many hours with her, and I will spend many more hours with her as she as she rehabs up in Deerfield Beach. And we look at each other, and we say, this too shall pass. This too shall pass. And I said, look, this whole trial is passing. You're not on the sidewalk anymore. Thank God. That was a terrible sight. Let me tell you, folks. You're not on the sidewalk. You're not still in ER with those people. We passed through that. You're no longer at the hospital. You're no longer there. You've been transferred to a rehab unit. So look at how this is progressing. We canceled your flight. We're going to book you a new one. She's going to go first class because she'll need it to go back to Arkansas, where she's from. So I said, look, some things have already passed. We're going forward. And folks, this is us, man. Things are hard when you're in it. But my dad always said, this too shall pass. And I love that saying, and when people tell stories. And it came to pass. Yes, it did. It came to pass. It did not come to stay. It came to pass. And the one joy or expectation we have is that nothing stays the same. Now, this is a two-sided coin. It can be terrible or it can be wonderful. When things are going well for you, you want them to stay the same. But no, you know, your kids grow up, your job changes, you have to move. I mean, some changes are uncomfortable. But on the other hand, look at it this way. Even the bad stuff that happens changes. It's going to be different tomorrow. It's going to be different tomorrow. It came to pass. Didn't come to stay, came to pass. And through it all, God is in complete and utter total control of everything that is happening. And the best news about that is that he's good. He's not an evil God. He's not a trickster. He's not pulling a huge prank on us. We're not going to wake up and God says, surprise, and he's really some kind of evil-faced clown. No, he is love. And the surprises awaiting us in the next life will be good ones, not bad ones. He was even greater, even more glorious, even more loving than even we once thought. We have to look forward to nothing but grace and glory. We go through the hard stuff now, the good stuff later. I like that. It's better than going through the bad stuff, the good stuff first and looking forward to night. No. In the Jewish day, the darkness comes first, then comes the day. Yes, the night is here, but the day comes. And the day is dawning, and we are all looking forward to it. You, me, Nancy, all the members of the body of Christ, we're looking forward to it together.